Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
And welcome to Table Manners. I'm Jessie Ware and I'm here in Clapham with Lenny.
Ah, Len, we want to wish you a happy new year.
We're back for 2024. Who can we give
fabulous,
you this year?
Fabulous Christmas.
Last year we gave you Cher. We gave you Pink last year. Basically, some killer women.
We've spoilt them.
We've spoilt you. Yeah. And this year we decided to start with a fabulous couple. A funny duo, potentially funnier than us, Mum. Definitely funnier than us. We have the wonderful Laura Whitmore and her husband, the funny guy, Ian Sterling. I can't do an accent. Ian Sterling. And I'm on food duty. I want to do a light lunch.
I think people have eaten so much over the festive season.
Yes. Well, so it's Melissa Clark on New York Times. You love her.
Yep.
Let's see if it
Exciting.
Works.
Exciting.
It is Thai green curry salmon with coconut rice, and it's got loads of spring onions in it. It's got spinach in it. It's got coriander. And you kind of do it all in one pot. And it's been cooking for a long time. So I'm a bit confused. And then what you do, you place the salmon fillets on top, and then it kind of like cooks
Steams it through.
Yeah. So that's what we're having. And then to kind of have a bit of acidity and like freshness, because it's quite a comforting bowl of like rice and salmon, I've done cucumber and avocado salad, which is with rice wine vinegar. It's got soy in there. It's got sesame seeds, toasted sesame oil, and it's just going to be kind of nice and fresh. I did open up my toasted sesame
Has that
pot.
Come out
That's
yet?
Gone.
Where did it go?
It had maggots in it. That is not what we're serving Laura and Ian. Had maggots. Shit. Actual maggots. I opened it up. I was like, why is there fluff on my toasted black sesames? It's really disgusting. And now I'm quite stressed that my whole of my larder has got moths in it. Pantry moths. Has anyone had it? Email us at hello at tablemanners.com.
Was that sealed properly?
Well, obviously not, Mother.
That's your problem.
Okay. So, yeah, we're having that.
I'm doing dessert.
Oh, yeah, sorry, you're doing dessert, and thank you for that.
Yeah, we're doing frozen berries with hot white chocolate sauce. Ooh. Did you bring the cream? Don't tell me. I'm going to kill you.
I think I did.
No, you didn't. I did. You're looking like you didn't.
But I took it out of the fridge.
Well, where is it?
Maybe I've...
No, Jessie, go and check. What? There was one thing you had to bring.
Laura and Ian coming up.
I've just been to Marks and Spencer, you fool. Jessica. Cheers, my
dear.
Cheers.
Oh, sorry.
Cheers, lovely to see you.
Thank you, lovely to
Thanks
see you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us. This
it's
is nice.
Funny being on this, isn't it? It's like when you go to New York and you see New York in the film.
Oh, shut up.
It's like being on a film set.
I'm having dinner with those people that I listen to having dinner.
Stop
oh my
it.
God, I love that.
This is like walking through New York and I go, Spider-Man was there.
Spider-Man?
And then when you were shouting off mic... Beautifully, it's like, oh, I remember that.
Oh, yeah, babe, listen, it's all gonna go. Like, we do cook. I love that Laura walks in, she's like, oh, you actually do the cooking.
I thought there'd be someone in the background. You know, like when you go on those cooking shows and there's always someone else cooking it and then bringing it in.
Jessie, that's an idea.
What, like the food, what are they called? Home ec or whatever. Yeah, right.
What do you call the food stylist? You know, when they have a food stylist,
there's no food stylist here. It's gonna look like shit, but it'll hopefully taste okay. So, you've schlepped all the way from North London.
Yeah.
You passed the river.
How long did it take?
We took about an hour and a half.
Hour and a half.
You had a lot of time to talk to each other.
Do you know what? We needed to catch up, so it was quite nice.
Prep your Last Supper, I hope. Did you talk about any
of
that?
We had a little think. Well, we were listening to...
Listen to your latest episode.
We listened to one of your... Which
was Kadeef. Yeah, it's lovely.
Kadeef, our friend, our dear friend, Kadeef.
We love Kadeef.
I think everybody that meets Kadeef needs to also have him as their dear friend, because I feel like he's my dear friend now. And we're only 1 year into our relationship.
I was quite jealous as well, because I met him through Aisling, and I remember thinking, I want him as my friend. I'm like,
through
why Aisling? Are you friends?
You've been friends with him longer than...
Well, who? You didn't introduce me to him.
That's a good point, actually.
How do you know Kadeef?
Kadeef mocks me for this every single time. Kadeef has been in one pilot that hasn't been commissioned in his entire incredibly successful career.
And you wrote it.
I was in it with him.
So you're the problem.
It was called...
You had a word fringe pumped. In it. Didn't you have a word fringe?
My character was called Spunk.
Oh, God.
I know.
What was his character called?
I can't remember. He was playing this... It was based in Scotland, and he was playing, like, the quite exotic English boyfriend. So the sort of Scottish girl had left the local town to go down to London to, I'm guessing, do something like acting or one of those things that Scottish people go, what are you reading? Or whatever it is they were doing. And then she came back up with this, like, incredibly...
Gorgeous, handsome, tall...
literate, beautiful man played by Kadeef.
Right.
And it's still to this day the only pilot he's ever been in that wasn't commissioned for a full series.
What part are you playing?
Spunk.
Spunk had a bowl cut, which I embraced and had and kept for a few months
after. Were you
a
couple at this point?
Oh, God, no.
Oh, right.
No. And my mother was sort of the loose lady of the town. And there'd been an alien landing, and she'd slept with the aliens.
I think maybe this is why it didn't get commissioned.
No!
I'm finding it hard to follow.
And then I was basically half human, half alien. So I was a bit socially awkward, but I could like lift up a car when no one was looking.
And you were spunky.
Full of spunk.
So we are going to talk about food after that.
I don't think I'd have commissioned it.
It was bloody brilliant.
Was it?
Kadeef was probably the worst thing in it, actually.
Poor Kadeef.
Is it exhausting going out with a comedian, Laura?
It's like full on. No, it's lovely. Do you know what the hardest part was?
What?
Because you're going on tour next year,
mm-hmm.
and you do a lot of like little work in progress gigs constantly. So he's constantly, he'll pop out for 20 minutes at night time, or he'll pop out for, well, that's what he says. But he'll pop out to go to the local pub where there's like a little stand-up thing in the corner and test out new material.
God, you're so brave.
So he's constantly doing that.
You're talented too, but you're brave.
So he doesn't test it out.
So he's
constantly,
so he has that. But during lockdown, that stopped. So that's when I could see that there was a little bit, you went a little bit mad for a while.
Yeah, I need it. I feel like people always say, like, when you do comedy, I don't know if it's the same with music, but it was like, oh, were you the funniest person at school? And I was like, not really. I really liked it. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't like, oh, I am so funny. It would be a crime.
But were you the clown that made everyone laugh?
Oh. No, I was sort of quite quiet, socially awkward kid, really.
That's not how you come across.
Yeah, I think I'm all right now.
Let's talk about food for a second.
Yes, please.
So, I would like a childhood memory from both of you.
He grew up in Scotland, right?
Oh, yes.
Which...
Can you imagine if you didn't and you just had that voice?
There's a clue there.
Yeah.
So, but which bit? Because it's a rather Edinburgh.
Edinburgh, yeah.
Yeah, you can
beautiful
tell
accent.
The difference.
Yes. There's not a lot of like East Coasters kicking about.
No, but it's very, it's musical.
Lilting,
yeah,
loud is the word.
My voice does have that thing where it's
great.
It's, you can hear it. No, when I lose him in the supermarket, I can just hear his voice over everyone else's.
But
and mine's quite loud as well.
Has your daughter adopted more of a Scottish accent or an Irish accent, or is she just London through and through?
It's like a mixture, isn't it?
Mixture. Ing words are very Scottish. Going, coming.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. It's a mixture. It's all, kind of all over the place. I quite like it now, but we are going to probably raise a really, like, posh English.
You're right, bravo. Yeah. Daddy.
Oh, I'd love that. Oh, what, my?
So, I would like a childhood memory. Who was around the dinner table, Ian? You go first.
Family, but we had sort of very stereotypical Scottish, like, very small family. Due to like a number of reasons, heart conditions, the main one.
Oh, okay.
So, like, mum, dad, sister, me.
Yep.
So, very family oriented, but very intimate.
Yeah.
Not as much of an extended family. So, we would be there. and it would be a lot of like my mum's cooking.
Was she a good cook?
Yeah, she was great. She's the sort of, I think it's a Scottish pet thing, maybe not an Irish little thing, a very Scottish mum thing of like, oh no, it's nothing. But then my memory of dinner is like my mum was never sat. She was always buzzing around.
I know how she
feels. Always buzzing around.
Busy.
So yeah, that was my busy. Sort of, yeah. Me, my dad and my sister are in this sort of like omnipresent being, which is my mother, just like putting things in front of people and making sure they're
so
all right.
So what was a really memorable dish that you loved of hers?
She would do a lot of pasta stuff. So like she would make like mac and cheese like spaghetti bolognese, really hearty stuff like that. Shepherd's pie, that sort of thing.
Where do you stand on haggis?
Love it.
Me absolutely. Too.
Do you actually love it?
Yeah.
Because it's, people get
I
put off by the...
I had a Scottish boyfriend once.
Congratulations.
It's like meaty muesli, I thought.
Oh, meaty
it's so
you know,
nice.
You
just,
think that's right?
It's delicious.
Have and you tried the vegan one, though? The vegan one's
oh,
quite
bloody
fresh.
Hell, she's on the vegan
I'm
again.
On the vegan haggis. The vegan
really
haggis.
It's really great, the vegan haggis.
Oh, because you can't eat it now, because you're vegetarian.
Well, because I know what it is. As soon as I found out what it was, it just...
I know.
You just don't,
I agree
you,
with you.
You know, once you know
like
what it is, you don't want to...
Now, Laura, who was around your dinner table, and what were you eating?
Well... One hand quite, it was quite small, and that was just me and my mom that grew up together. So I just kind of grew up in this single parent household.
She just had a big birthday as well,
she
didn't
had a
she?
Big birthday.
That looked like quite a do.
Well, I don't know how she feels about it. It's a big birthday, but she doesn't really like to mention what big birthday it is.
If she can't celebrate her 50th, then when can she?
But the thing is, you need to tell her. It's really, you get really anxious about the big one. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards you think, actually, I'm bloody glad... It's not the alternative. I'm still here
I'm
and
still
celebrating.
Here. I'm still here. And actually, I always say, but isn't it better that people say, you don't look that age? Do you know? Yeah. Rather than go, God, you look
fabulous.
You look she looks fabulous. So it's just me and her. But actually, kind of the opposite to you, there's loads of us. So I think you always get overwhelmed. This was the first year, first Christmas that we actually stayed at in London, because we always go back to Ireland. Right. I always go back to Ireland.
I always go to Ireland.
You go because there's no choice.
Which bit of Ireland?
So I'm from just outside Dublin, Bray, County Wicklow, and my mum's family are in Wexford. So she's the youngest of 13. So
13?
Yeah. There's
Jeez. Bloody hell.
So there is Christmas dinner has always been a lot of people. So and I think I may have about 80 cousins, I think.
How was that for the wedding invite then? Didn't you elope? Is that why you eloped?
We eloped, baby.
Your mum's got a lot in common with Dolly Parton because she's one of, is she 13?
Yeah, she said that her mum always had one in her and one on her.
But the table sounded enormous every time they sat down.
It's massive. And also, I kind of wonder how they did it back then because it was a two-bed house.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean?
Crikey.
You're like, how did you?
I never asked you that. How did they do that?
But then her older sister was 19 at the time, so like some of them had left, you know, and then she said the older siblings kind of looked
Help
after
the
younger
ones,
and they lived on a farm and
a baby farm
pretty much. So it was so I'm just used to like a lot of family
of
or bumping into someone who's probably related to me.
I do a
somewhere.
Sort of pub quiz before I enter any Laura's family homes at Christmas time, because like names.
Yeah,
who's in that room?
Ian, you find it hard to remember my father's name. Like, it's not like he makes
yeah,
like it's
great,
so hard for me to remember all
there's
the cousins.
Loads, but there is loads.
Yeah,
and
but we don't see them
Irish,
all.
And they've also got Irish names, which are all insane.
Christmas presents.
They are insane. Well, Christmas presents.
What do you do, Secret Santa?
Yeah, and I also feel, Christmas was about kids. So I feel like the kids get the presents and...
So what was your mum cooking for you?
I always remember sort of when I grew up with just my mum, we lived where she still lives now, in this little estate near the seafront in Bray. Which is a lovely place, lovely part of the world. And our next door neighbour had an apple tree, our next door neighbour Maureen, when she was still alive. And her apples used to fall into our garden. Mom used to pick them and peel them and make apple pie or apple crumble, anything they could stick apples into, or apple stew. And we have an apple tree in our garden now. Remember when she came over?
Yeah.
There's still stewed apple in our freezer. Remember she goes, in case you, there's so much stewed apple just frozen in the freezer.
It's, yeah.
But I was just eating it with custard. I just love it. It feels, it's real
it's gorgeous.
Comfort
yeah,
food.
I agree with
so
you.
So would you say that's your nostalgic taste as well?
Yeah. And even now with my little one, like just to, and actually it's hard to get an apple pie wrong. It's well.
What pastry do you do underneath?
Yeah. Why? What do you do it with no pastry underneath?
Well, you could just do it on top. Just do a crust on top.
But then, how would you lift up the slice?
That's a really good point.
You wouldn't.
But then it would just be a crumble with a bit of pastry on top.
No, we do it so it's all kind of. Yeah. And then Mom sometimes would get like a little bit of the pastry and make it into like if it's Christmas holly. Do you know like the three little things?
Yeah.
Or like do it in the shape of something.
Yeah.
And that's as kind of
someone's initials.
Is she a good pastry maker?
Mom is a brilliant cook and a brilliant baker.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. But she makes everything. She used to do this thing that my granny used to do. It's so bad for you. But I remember when we were younger and there'd be no goodies in the house. You know, you're like, I love a biscuit or I love something.
Well, you did bring Quality Treats. Goodies.
My leftovers goodies, from Christmas.
Goodies are plenty.
But you know, when you run out of it, my mom used to make this homemade fudge, which I now realise is pretty much a bag of sugar and cocoa and a bit of butter just in the pan. And then it would go rock hard on the plate and you need a knife to break it off.
And did you mind it like that?
I loved it.
Yeah, it was a goodie.
Oh my God, it was lovely. When there's nothing else in the house, you'd always have sugar and cocoa and butter. So you'd make, I've tried to make it myself. It's not the same.
I feel
it's chewy.
That's a really Irish and Scottish thing where it's like distrustful of like the Cadbury's and the sweet industry because it's bad for you. So they just boil up a bag of sugar. But because you've made it yourself, it's somehow
good
for
you. When did you come to England then?
I moved over here about almost 15 years ago. I entered a competition to be the face of MTV.
And you bloody won.
Yeah, I was studying journalism. I was working in a newsroom that was pretty hard. News is like not very nice. And I entered a competition just to kind of get a little bit of a contact to do a bit of work experience somewhere, not thinking I'd win this competition. And then I won a year's contract about 15 years ago and moved here for a year. And then you kind of get stuck here. You get
sucked
in.
And where did you first live in London?
Camden.
Did you like it?
Loved it.
Yeah.
Oh, the buzz. And I was 23.
Who cooks between you two?
You're a really good cook.
Yeah, I like cooking.
I tell him what we're having and I buy the ingredients.
Yeah.
Oh, so he's like... Yeah.
Project manager and I'm like
the
skibby.
Project manager. Yeah.
So you're like the HelloFresh person for him.
I'm the HelloFresh person, yeah.
So you buy all the ingredients.
Whoever it is.
Yeah, gusto.
Guys, look.
Oh my God, it looks insane.
It's okay.
Tell me what it looks like.
It looks mad.
Also, this is like a food stylist has been in here.
Babes. It's Thai curry, coconut rice with salmon. And then some pickled... Pickle thingies on the top.
This is really... Do you know what's lovely as well for this time of year too? It's just like warming.
Yes, yeah. It is warming.
Yeah.
And then Mum is doing pudding. And look, I've got salt and pepper.
It's stupid good.
Oh, you're so
sweet. Is it?
No, you know
Oh
what?
My God, it's stupid good.
Well, babe, you're very sweet and I will not be offended if you want salt and pepper. But yes, it is. It's easy kind of comfort food.
So hold on, what is the sauce?
God. It's just Thai green curry with coconut milk and... spinach and spring onions, and you do it with sushi rice.
It does have a kick though. I love it.
Well, okay, is it too
hot?
No,
I love it. Do you know when you take a bite and then you stop for a minute and you're like, ooh,
but then
it's like a cuddle.
But then you steam the salmon on top, so you lay the salmon on top.
And this is a salad.
Oh,
it's like
this is beautiful.
A sesame salad that's supposed to go.
It's got avocado as well in it.
It's got a little bit of avocado.
Oh my God.
And just have some, please. Last supper, guys, you know the drill. We ask everybody for a starter, a main, a pud, and a drink of choice. Mm-hmm. Now, are you going to combine? Do you have similar taste buds? Like, how does this work?
Well, I think starter, we probably will agree
on. We 100% are going to share a starter.
Agree on this.
It's the best starter you can start any meal ever. It's classy. It's shareable. It's nature's tapas.
A dozen oysters.
Oysters, Carlingford, please.
We love, and a bit of, and then you can do that thing where you just absolutely
nature's
like riddle it full of Tabasco.
Oh, it's swimming and they come back to life.
So you have a Tabasco. I like the vinaigrette.
I like the vinaigrette.
Mm, yeah.
I think that's all you need. Maybe like a drop or two of Tabasco, but you don't ruin it.
I don't like oysters.
Why not? But why not?
Selenium's
not
coming. Knew you'd know.
But you're such a...
What about a prawn cocktail?
Classy lady you're about to say.
Well, yeah. But whenever I hear you on the podcast, you're always so informed with food and so cultured with it. And I always associate oysters with such a...
With cultured people.
Yeah.
And it's like salty snot.
Oh, it's like spunk, isn't it?
It wouldn't be the thing I'd choose at all. I think I've eaten one once. You don't like them that much.
We've all tried it once.
I like them for about 3 or 4 and I feel fabulous.
You don't want to have 2 yet, no.
But I love that you're sharing that together. Main course, are we separating at this point?
Well, we'll do what we always do. We always pick 2 and share. Like literally all, why would you, that seems...
Are 2 meals. Are you a good sharer?
Yeah, I think we're pretty good. Yeah.
So what would be the 2 dishes for the main? Can you guess what the other person's going to do?
Is like Mr. and Mrs.
Yeah.
What's her dish?
Well, there's 2 because we'd be quite similar. We would probably both pick the same one.
But then...
But we're not going to waste us both getting the same dish.
Okay.
I know what you're going to pick.
Do you actually?
Go on.
Of course. What do you eat for like breakfast, dinner, lunch?
Well, I'll have a pasta dish.
Yeah, pasta. Okay. He just like lives off pasta.
Okay. I love pasta.
So what would
which pastas are going to be?
Well,
if we're sharing.
Okay, Laura, let's hear from you.
Yeah, you're being very sneaky with... You're being a politician. Because you're going,
right,
what
we're
would
sharing
you do?
Pastas, good.
Okay, so what would he choose as his pasta?
Well, what do I write it down somewhere?
Well, we wouldn't both get pasta, because that's a waste of 2 dishes.
Okay.
One would be pasta and one would be something else.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, would be a seafood linguine.
Me too, I love it.
Seafood. Let's get everything
in
there.
Yeah. I like that.
Let's get everything.
Now,
let's get the mussels, the clams.
Can I ask something very controversial?
Okay, go on.
Do you put parmesan on your seafood linguine?
Yeah.
Me too. You're not supposed to.
What? You're not meant to?
No.
Are you not?
And the Italians come like this and they go...
Who says that?
And they walk past you and
say... What do they know about pasta?
Excuse me, I want parmesan, they say. No.
Pasta goes on everything.
Do you know what this
is? I know.
Parmesan goes on everything.
Me too.
I mean, pasta goes on pasta too.
I absolutely have to have it. Because people don't like cheese with fish. But if you've been brought up on cod
Ian
and cheese sauce...
Ian has something to say about this, I can see.
Well, it's funny, it's a weird memory that my mum, like I said, would make like a spag ball and a macaroni and cheese. When I went to Norway to study at university, I never cooked in my life.
You went to Norway?
For a year to study.
Why did you choose... Oh, you were doing Norwegian at...
No, I'd done law. But I just done a year in Norway. We basically, I didn't apply. I applied too late. And because Norway's so expensive, it was the only place that no one had picked. But basically, because beer's so expensive, no shouldn't wanted to go there. So me and my friend Robbie just got it as a last... Obviously, I didn't do the form right and had to, like, last minute do it.
Did you enjoy it?
Loved it. But the first few months, I was quite homesick. And my mum gave me a recipe for macaroni and cheese. And, like, even cheese there was, like... £8-9 for like a bar.
Did you have that fudgy cheese?
It was just, yeah. That sort of brown.
What do you have with your mac and cheese? What did you do?
So I made this mac and cheese from scratch. I'd never cooked anything. I'd done the milk and the flour at the start and I was like blowing my, and made a really basic cheese sauce, but I couldn't believe that I'd done it. And I put this macaroni and cheese on my plate and I had an Italian sort of roommate and I got out my tomato ketchup that I always put on my macaroni and cheese.
Yeah.
And
obviously.
She just walked past and she went, ugh. And I obviously had like 3 months of like homesickness and I was like, how dare you?
You had a fight over mac and cheese and tomato ketchup.
Because I was just like, leave me alone to have this taste of home for once in my life. So I can just see that look from the Italians when you put your cheese on your...
When you're putting your tomato ketchup on your
they
macaroni cheese.
They don't often eat macaroni cheese.
It's not a thing really, is it?
It's American.
No, but I really... I'm with you with the tomato ketchup with mac and cheese.
My mum used to put whole tomatoes in. Do you remember?
They were very nice too.
Yeah.
Oh, lovely.
So you bake it with the whole tomato.
We're doing a seafood pasta. Now, what's the other dish?
Well, normally we'd be an Italian. So what would we pick? But then we're quite controversial with this. If it is what I think, what we were talking about earlier on.
When you said, obviously, pasta, I was thinking I was going to get the seafood linguine.
But then we have, I'm like, why would we both get seafood linguine? Because we've got to go half seat.
No, but that's fine.
But we can't do pizza because the topping situation is insane.
It depends on
where
you go.
What's your topping situation?
What? Ask her what her 3 toppings are she has on the pizza.
Go on.
Dream pizza.
We did this on our podcast recently and I'm literally the opposite to Ian because I used to work in a pizzeria.
Which one?
It was called Pizzas and Cream in Bray. It's not there anymore.
Shout out Pizzas and
Cream. It's not there anymore. It was great. It was the
pizzas
best.
Pizzas and Cream.
Sorry, R.I.P.
You listen
pizza
to 112 as well.
We used to make our own homemade ice cream. But then you used to always like be able to, if you kind of messed up an order, you got to bring home the pizza. So we always like did the wrong order because then you get to bring it home. But my top 3 ingredients for a pizza, pineapple, mushrooms,
Laura,
and sweet corn.
Together on
and
pizza.
Then they used to do this special dip sauce.
Do Italians even talk to you two?
No, I think we're banned from Rome.
Banned from Italy.
It is so, and it reminds me of growing up, like, because Pizza and Cream is like the biggest restaurant in my hometown when we were younger. If I worked there when I was 16, it was my first waitressing job. If you were lucky, you'd work there.
Yeah, like everyone, Mystic Pizza. It was like, yeah, you were basically Julia Roberts. Yeah. Okay.
I was basically Julia Roberts. And all like the hot guys work there.
And they had pineapple on their pizza.
I was the odd one out. I was the Julia Roberts.
In Ireland.
In Ireland, I know. Well, a pineapple out of a tin, Lenny. Like, do you know what I mean? It's not an actual pineapple.
I love a Hawaiian. I mean, you're not
you
having the
don't.
Ham.
No.
I freaking love a Hawaiian.
Are you anti pineapple pizza? Yeah, great. It's disgusting.
It's
disgusting.
It's disgusting. We almost like anchovies and mushroom and...
And it weeps. Ham. It weeps onto the pizza.
I mean, they did fig at your local place once, and
fig.
I thought... Fig on...
Oh, I love fig.
That's fine.
Oh,
on
I
a
love
pizza.
Like a gorgonzola.
Oh, lovely. Beautiful. Talking my language.
Okay, so you're having half
Christmas
that is yours. And then what's your topping?
All the meats.
Everything I don't eat.
I probably have like...
And
I
the
like
chilies a, you like, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah.
You like hot.
Hot, meaty.
So do you like arrabbiata?
Yes. I would have... That would be my...
A meat feast hot.
A meat feast
we're
hot.
We're going to... When we put this episode out, we're going to have... people writing to us about your choices.
It's
going to
be like the complaints commission. Yeah,
yeah. Complaints about
also,
parmesan, pineapple. No, yeah.
It's weird that... Sorry, I'm just cleaning your hand for you.
Oh, thank you so much.
But people get really angry about pizza toppings because we talked about it before.
I think...
I said the pineapple. People get angry live about and the let pineapple.
Live. I think if someone got an order for a half sweet corn pineapple and mushroom, half... all the meat spicy pizza, they would sort of contact the police at some sort of...
So it's our dream dinner, we can do what we want.
Mentally ill person.
I think it's
and cheese and pineapple, do you remember?
Yeah, well, the party.
On the sticks.
On a
oh,
stick.
Yeah, with the hedgehog that, and the tinfoil.
Yeah, but you know, that dates back to the 70s. That was a,
yeah.
That was sort of a status symbol, wasn't it, from like the 70s
hedgehog.
When people would be like,
yeah. Yeah.
I've been to a
country,
I've discovered these... fruits that don't
Zotic
really exist yet.
That brings us on nicely to the new podcast.
Oh, yes.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
How did you come up with the idea?
Literally, it's what we used to sit and watch. So it's a true crime podcast, and we used to sit and watch sort of true crime stuff and blether about it like this. And then someone came to us and said, do you want to do it?
I think I love podcasts. I always, and I know you came on my podcast about podcasts, talking about podcasts.
Yeah. You live, breathe it.
But I just find it a very safe, homely space. And also with TV is very big. There's a lot of people involved. And I think with podcasts, and you'll know this, like you have a lot of control over
totally.
It. It's your baby. And you're also very protective over, especially when you do it with a family member. And we were always like, I don't know if we do something together, is it going to put strain on our relationship?
Yeah,
and it's,
that's,
you
I
know,
agree
and
entirely.
The day that happens.
You're fine, Mum. I made you. I mean, you made me and then I made you.
Darling.
There you go.
Darling.
Mutually beneficial, so it's great. Yeah.
I carry Jess.
Yeah.
You literally carry her, so you know.
Yeah, metaphorically.
There's a lot of making happening.
So we didn't want, and I think couples podcasts were very popular, so a lot of places were trying to like do something.
Did that put you off? Were you like,
I did. And people would be like, oh, you're a couple, and do something. And
we've got an idea for this podcast. Do you want to do like Who Takes Out the Bins?
Yeah.
So we just didn't want to do that because
I said yes to them all. Laura vetoed the whole thing. I was like, show me the money.
How have you found doing it? Like,
I really enjoyed it because we had that, and I don't know if you did this with your mom, but we had this conversation where I was like, the day that this puts a strain on our relationship is the day we stop. The day that we have a fight that's not just, it goes outside the podcast. And I think it was trying to find that authentic place that also felt just unique in a way.
Well, I think also you love true crime.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I like eating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's real.
Like being with my mum. A lot.
Yeah.
And like, I like all of that. So it's like, really, it is authentic.
It's authentic.
And it feels so separate to what you do on the radio or on stand-up or telly. Like, it feels... And so you're still interested in it, right?
And I think we have those, like, your background's law, my background's journalism. And people probably don't realise that because I do a lot of entertainment you studied journalism and you do stand-up. You're like, oh, you studied law. And like, actually, these were our backgrounds. We have a degree in this. And it's, we can, every now and then you come out with like an amazing fact about the legal system. And I'm like, what?
And then you're like, I know why I married this guy.
But you asked me earlier on why I liked the first time. I remember like the first time I met Ian at those BAFTAs.
And I had the security tag still on my suit.
He had this massive security tag from Topshop still on his suit.
They forgot they hadn't taken it off.
Gordon Ramsay refused to be picked up with
me. I'd got into the Tesco Express with my mum to pick, my mum will hate me for saying this, but to get us fags. It's back when me and my mum both still smoked. We don't, neither of us smoke now.
Yeah,
I want it, that's for Alison Sterling, that's not for me. And they pulled me aside because I set off the alarm. And then they found the tag on the back of my jacket.
You.
And I was like getting in a car to go.
Oh my God, what can I do? Yeah. Now tell me why Gordon Ramsay didn't want to have a photo.
He's actually lovely. And we've seen him loads of times since.
He loves me because he said yes, Ian, when I won. But then obviously I went up and I was pretty drunk. And
he was there with his family.
And he was with his family. And they went, let's all go backstage now to get a photo. And he sort of looked at me and went, I think I'll just sit with my family.
But that's the first conversation I remember having with Ian, except for that TV show that we did years ago that we forgot about.
We did a true reaction, fake reaction.
Yeah, there's actually this footage of us on the same show that I kind of forgot happened, but
we're not happy about it.
No, it's fine.
I just loved it.
We're on a panel show. You know, when you're on a panel show, I was on one panel.
Hold on, see,
opposite teams.
This was before you got together.
Like years
I was still
ago.
Doing kids' TV. I couldn't
but
believe my luck.
Did you see what Ian looked like? Kids' TV. Like, he looks like a different person. No. Not that he looked bad. He just looks like I didn't know that was him.
Okay, fine. So you were like, oh my God, it's Laura Whitmore.
I went up to you.
If I'm being completely honest, I'm like, oh my God, it's Harry from McFly. And then after that, I was like, oh my God, it's Laura Whitmore. Because I was doing kids' TV, so this was ITV2, so I was like, I'm with the grown-ups now. Joe Swash is here. Finally, I've matured. That's what in my head I was thinking. I was like, fuck you, Dick and Dom. I'm going to hang out with Matt Edmondson from Radio 1.
Oh my God, I love this.
That's where my headspace was. Whereas you were probably thinking another ITV thing.
I used to host the backstage show in the jungle, and we were still on Australian time. You know, you travel like a lot. And I remember coming back going, I could be anywhere right now. I don't know what time it is.
Yeah. I had thought
anyone
about
could have been on
else.
That show, and I wouldn't remember.
Yeah. I had been thinking about nothing else for about 2 weeks. I was like, oh my God.
My time.
Ellie Taylor's a team captain.
But then, so years later at the BAFTAs, I see him and I'm like, oh, congratulations on your award. And I think your response was, hello. And I went, oh.
My mum had been asked to leave.
So drunk.
But let's not get into that.
I love your mum already.
So I just remember thinking, oh,
She hadn't.
I just remember thinking, you seem lovely, but you, God, he's got a tag on him.
A shopping tag, not like a prisoner tag.
He's stolen the suit to be here.
He was a hot mess.
Yeah, I was like, what is he saying? He's trying to say words to me? Anyway, so we just kind of left it. And you did DM me a little bit, but I was just like...
It's like a rom-com. It's like the start of a rom-com.
But then I met him sober. And then I realised...
Where was that?
You were hosting a show. And I remember thinking, you were really smart. So much taller than I realised on telly. I was like, oh, he's really tall, really smart, sober. You've got this degree in law. You know loads of things. You're really smart. And I'm like, actually, I didn't see this before. It took me 6 years.
And the rest is history.
And then you were like, what type of dog do you have?
Yeah, what type of dog do you have?
That was his DM. Slid into my DMs. What type of dog do you have? Sexy talk, Jessica.
And now I'm Lump Who Walks That Dog.
You do.
Thank you.
Listen, I'm looking after a child and juggling a career. It's tough. You walk the dog.
I walk a dog.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Yeah.
We're up to mains. We've done the pizza and the pasta.
An atrocity of a pizza.
It just kind of represents both of you very brilliantly, yeah. And I like it. Now, pudding, you sweet much?
No, I'm not a sweet tooth person. I've got a bit sweet tooth in the last couple of months, haven't I?
Yeah, but our wedding cake wasn't sweet.
No.
What was it? Cheese?
Actually, you know what? I'd have that as ours.
Wheels of cheese. So many wheels of cheese.
Love that.
I just love cheese.
So what was on your Christmas cheese board this year?
I like a soft cheese. Mm. So, do you know what I mean?
What, are we talking goat's cheese?
Oh, like a bit blend of brie.
Ooh, like roast, like...
Camembert baked.
Oozing. Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I love? I love a Wensleydale, do you know, with a little bit of cranberry in it. Or
I do too, especially at Crimbo's.
Yeah, like
or what's the spicy one?
Manchego's not spicy.
What's the sort of cheddar, the orangey cheddar,
it's probably,
but it's got
it's probably
spice
grated
in it.
Cheese and you put bloody Tabasco on it. No, like, there's do with a everything.
Spicy Red Leicester.
Spicy Red Leicester.
Oh, I know that one. It's got the little things in the in the veins.
I love that you know that,
it's got
but
it
it's
in
not
the veins.
A thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
What is it?
It's not a real thing. It's got a little bit of a kick to it. It's got, it's like a red cheddar,
we'll
but with,
Let's have a Google.
And I'll I also like see. Stinky cheese.
Me too.
Right, it's berries with white chocolate sauce.
Beautiful.
Oh my God.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I won't overface you.
No, I love it.
So, pudding-wise, would you have a cheese board?
Red Devil. Red Devil.
It's called the Red
it's
Devil.
It's called the Red Devil.
Does it have the stuff in the
it's red.
Let me see.
It's red Leicester with chili fruit.
You'll know
it's
and then they wax it up.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Was that on the cheese board?
There was so many
red
wheels.
Red Devil was on
you
our
cheese
board.
You name a cheese, it was on the cheese board.
And did you have, do you like a chutney with it or do you just, are you a purist?
Or a grape. I'll just take a grape.
I like a bit of apple.
I'm just
apple.
Pure
stewed apple. We've got so much stewed apple in the freezer.
I'm pure carb.
Pure carb. Okay, so which cracker do you like?
I don't know I don't even know what crackers are though.
Controversial.
Circle ones?
I like a biscuit. Like a digestive biscuit.
I don't like the thick oaty ones.
Oh, I like
or the
them.
Oaty ones. I'm like, come on, we're going to do it. Maybe that's my sweet with my savory. I like sweet and savory. That's
like
my thing.
Yeah, I can see with the pineapple and the sweet corn on the pizza.
No,
I can see
right.
this.
It's not right.
So what's your drink of choice?
All of them.
Fine. Are you going to go with an aperitif and then a change at the
I'll have Guinness, definitely.
Okay, with the oysters.
Yeah,
but from Ireland.
Yeah.
I find, I don't know how much time you spend with Irish people, but they sort of have this thing about their chocolate's better. It's the same. Their tea's better.
Our chocolate
it's
is better.
It's the same.
They think
Cadbury's is better in Ireland. Have you heard this?
Have you had a Golden Crisp or have you had a Golden Crisp or a Caramello? You know it's better.
It isn't. It's
you
the same.
You know it's better.
It is the
well,
same.
You know
good luck
selling. Good luck selling tickets in Ireland, Ian, after that statement.
But Guinness is much better in Ireland.
Okay. Do you not have one of the taps at home?
We do.
And does it hit the spot?
Well, you have to... This is the thing. When we got the tap, we're like, this is great. But you know, when you get a barrel, you have to use all 51 pints within 3 days.
No, I didn't know
yeah.
that.
Yeah, so you kind of only get it for special occasions. Otherwise, I mean, he likes Guinness, but 51 pints
have
in 3 days.
That's a small keg. A normal keg's about 64. Oh my God.
Do you know what this is like? Like one of those M&S ads.
Oh my God. Well, we think Mum should be the voice of M&S.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's already it's frozen.
Yeah.
And then it melts into
such a
woman.
That's easy. No, it's brilliant and not too easy. It's fabulous, Mum, and I think that I will do it.
Also, do you know custard is my favourite food?
It's
white chocolate.
It's white chocolate, but it's like custard.
It is like custard.
But it looks like custard. I just like hot, melt. I love hot and cold. I love hot and cold together.
Mum, I'm kind of into this.
Oh, and then the frozen berries go sort of... regular, but it makes the chocolate sort of...
We should do this. This is a great one.
It's good because you can just have it in the freezer and then you just bung it. So hold on. This is great.
Did you make that? How did you make that chocolate? Did you melt white chocolate or is it
whipped cream?
In a bain-marie, Mum.
No, just straight in.
So how do you stop it from like going hard straight away because of the cream?
Yeah, I don't know.
Just magical powers.
This is really good, Mum.
Do you like it?
Yeah, it kind of hits the spot. And like those cranberries or red currants never ever work in any other scenario apart from when you've got white chocolate.
I think the chocolate could have been a bit hotter.
No, it's perfect.
No.
I'm enjoying it. It's really nice. Nice
one. Oh my God, I love
it. So Guinness is going to be there. Laura, what about you, babes?
Well, we became a little bit addicted during lockdown of a particular wine.
Yeah.
Which one?
Because they sold it in a corner shop for like £7. It was a rosé.
It's the working man's whispering angel.
Yeah.
What are called?
Kylie.
Kylie.
Oh, we know about Kylie.
Kylie sparkling rosé.
And a screw top. So easy.
And it's a screw top, so you don't have to have
£7
a bottle
on offer. It was such good value.
She's so good at making wine, man.
She's so good at making wine.
So are you good cooks? Do you like cooking?
Ian is really good. If you don't Like, the problem was, I remember lockdown made us cook. Because up to then, we didn't really cook. We always ate out, or you'd eat catering. Catering's always better than home, usually. Well, what we used to cook.
I think takeaways. I'll go back to it now. I feel like lockdown had all the time.
Oh, we cooked.
And then,
cooked,
you know, there's been that so rush post-lockdown with, like, the backlog of, like, things to film and do and children arriving and all that. And I feel that's all leveled out.
She has a great meal. We cook well for her and then this we forget
is,
to eat.
This year is the year of the chef for me, I think.
Really?
I'm going to get it back on. I used to love it. I love making it.
Do you
it.
Like barbecuing?
Funny you say that. I once, and this is the most lockdown. Lockdown was obviously so difficult so in so
time.
Many ways.
So
once
awful.
I made a 2-patty burger for myself and I fired up an entire coal barbecue.
And it took me 2 patties.
For 2 patties. It took me 2 hours, the whole thing.
Yeah, but we had time to kill.
Yeah.
So are you doing any more acting soon, babes?
A series is coming out later this year, actually, called Queenie on
oh
Channel
my God,
4.
You're Queenie!
I'm in 2 episodes of that.
Amazing. Which character are you?
You know the book?
Yes.
Do you know the opening scene?
Yes,
and she plays
the gynecologist's
vagina.
Oh my God, congratulations.
So it's for me, I love that book. So
I'm a gynecologist.
Any questions, ask me. So yeah, and then I filmed 2 films last year that will be out later this year as well. So
babe, you're prolific.
So it was, yeah, it was fun. It was nice. It's definitely a challenge and it's different because it's slower than live television. And I do like like live. That's why I love podcasting and I love that. But then live is so quick. You do it and it's done, it's gone.
But what I love about you, Laura, and it reminds me of how, like, we both do lots of different things.
And you can.
And we can.
Yeah.
And of course you do too, Ian. Like, you do. Like,
I'm a bloke, so I'm allowed.
You said it, baby. But no, I think it's so wonderful to see you doing so many different things.
Yeah.
Like, from.
But also, if you get those opportunities, you go with it. And they're not that far. You know, they're not.
No,
that,
exactly.
It's all storytelling in a way. You know, it's not like I'm actually a real gynecologist and I'm just, you know, go on, show us what you got. But it's it all kind of fits in. And there are things I wanted to do years ago. I wanted to get into acting and I ended up going down the journalism route. Then I became the face of MTV. It's all, and it just kind of, you take the opportunity and you run with it.
Theatre or film?
So I did a run
did
a year ago, 222, and that was like 8 shows a week. And it was like full on.
West End.
Yeah, baby.
West End.
That was amazing.
And it was lovely. It was a lovely thing to be part of. I really liked the play. I liked the character. I loved the cast. And it was the first time I had routine in my life. I felt like I had a normal job. And also, you just know what you're doing. So I was able to probably like organize meeting friends for lunch during the day, or having little one at home. It worked out well, actually, because I spend all day at home, bar matinees days. And I was like, actually, it's the first time. Because sometimes with telly world, it's quite last minute. Things change. You don't get a call sheet sometimes till the night before for things, and you're trying to work out childcare. So it was the first time I had
consistency. Especially if there's like sides involved or whatever, and then you've got to like learn them depending on what's happening and stuff like that as well. So
can I just say that there's been a few auditions I've done recently, even the one for Queenie, and
I am.
Like, who has to read with me?
Incredible at reading.
Are you amazing?
But it's
you get really into the character too.
Well, I've now learned that if you're reading someone's lines, don't stand near the camera. Because even when I'm trying to be quiet, it'll be like, what do you mean? And it sounds like I'm screaming
and
over
her. And every casting director is like, is that the voice of Love Island?
Yeah, that's the problem. That
it's
is the problem.
It's very hard to hide the voice.
Have you met lots of people from Love Island?
Yeah, well, I used to go out there.
You don't do it out there anymore now?
Not for the last few years. And I'd always meet the finalists.
That's a shame. Because it's somewhere warm.
Well, it is,
well,
but like...
it's a free holiday.
It's a free holiday. But then the hours are mad. Like, people forget how... Your hours are crazy when you're in the voiceover.
I think it would be nice... Obviously, it would be nice to go out for like a week, but I used to go out for 8 weeks, and there's 2 a year. So that's 16 weeks.
And you
weeks.
Were out there.
And when we, yeah, but then we used
you
to be...
You flew in and out, and you just had your baby, right?
Yeah, but I did it before I had her.
Yeah.
So I remember we did the winter one, but that was South Africa, so I used to fly back and forth. Because it was, that's what the job was.
Yeah.
But then my hours were different to your hours. You're in production. And I, so when people say, oh, you work together, I'm like,
that was
I never
the least,
saw him.
That was the least we saw of each other when you.
I know.
That was 100% the least we saw of each other.
That was when I had to ring up my, when I had my child, I had to ring up my mother and go, what are you doing for 3 months? Because I need help.
Yeah. Well, we've all been there. Yeah.
Won a free holiday in Spain.
Before we let you go, anywhere in London that you absolutely love, a local that you love to go to? Are you a big pub person?
I love pubs so much.
Yeah, like, so...
Do you?
Love
it. But like a dirty pub.
Do whatever you
drink
want.
At home.
Really?
Yeah.
I just love...
But we also have a pub at home, so, you know, it's...
Yeah. I can see a pub in a lovely Irish village being fabulous, and you meet all the people you know.
Yeah.
But London pubs just don't do it for me.
It depends on where. Princess Mum, that's
is that what it is? Yeah.
Oh, it depends on what one. I just like going in somewhere, particularly when you go to London. I remember when I first moved to London and getting off a bus and saying, thank you, driver, because that's what you say. And he looked at me like I was going to shoot him. Yeah. But you always say, thank you, driver. So I like going in somewhere where the person, it's like cheers, so the person behind the bar knows your name. Do you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah, I get that, but that not kind of, London pubs.
But that's why you have to find your little one. There's a few little
so
ones.
So you've got a nice pub.
Yeah, it's got loads. He's got loads.
I've got loads where they know me by name, and some of them I'm allowed in.
But we've got that little one. There's one in North Finchley called Tulins.
Tulins.
It's a little Irish pub. But it's like
poker there every Monday night with the boys and girls.
But they're all like, you're the youngest by a lot.
I'm the youngest there by a good few years, but that doesn't matter, does it?
No.
And I love it.
You've got a lot of more experience on you.
And they like the football, it's quite busy for the football, but for like the GA and stuff.
They do the Gaelic football as well. They do the hurling. They'll do all the Irish sports.
Mad busy, rammed, hot spot.
My dad loves it.
It's great.
My dad loves it.
I love you two because you make the most out of everything. I love it. You like grab the world and life and career by the balls and you go, let's go. It's amazing.
One life.
It's wonderful to see you both.
And I love that we got Tulins a shout out.
Yeah, you've got to do Tulins, that.
Yeah, but you haven't asked about karaoke.
Okay, let's do it.
Would you do a duet?
Oh, but did we say when we went away to the Maldives?
Islands in the Stream.
Well, we went to the Maldives and last summer, which was lovely. But when we got there, it was very quiet. It was very couple-y.
All people on the honeymoon.
And did you have your little person with you?
No, we didn't. Because we never had a honeymoon. So it was kind of like a late honeymoon that mother stepped up again. I was like, thank you. And there was no really entertainment because it was very romantic. Eat, go to bed. Like, that's the kind of
vibe.
And
they'd sit you like on tables really far apart because you're meant to be like in the romance and stuff.
Oh, we love
like really
friends.
Intense and
I think
quite
the
quiet.
Maldives is a bit like that anyway.
Right. So. And we're used to making friends when we go on holiday. So they had a karaoke night. And when we got there, there was six people. And there was literally one person sitting on a seat singing. There was no...
vibe.
There was no vibe until we came.
Whitmore and Stella had to come
so
in.
So there was
right.
these. There was a lovely Japanese couple, and they sat adoringly at
you don't
each
sit
other and sort of.
When you sing
they
karaoke.
Haven't been practicing.
Yeah.
No, they were wet. They had practiced, and then when we sat down, they'd done the English one that they clearly learned all the English.
But they were sitting
to.
In a corner. I was like, stand up and get into the
stand
stage.
Up.
Sing out, Louise.
Did you not send me up first?
No,
you went up first.
I did Teenage Dirtbag, which is my karaoke song.
But you're really good singing,
that's
though.
That's good.
And then Ian did his karaoke song.
No, that's not my karaoke song.
I learned you know halfway all the through.
All right, which one is
the
it?
The Streets Fit, But You Know It.
I don't know
I'm
that.
Trying to pull you even.
Right,
front of these other two couples.
Who don't speak English and I don't really know it that well.
You don't know that song.
I think you are fairly fit, your fit.
Oh my gosh, don't you know it.
Oh my gosh.
I think you're about 8 or 9, maybe even 9.5 in 4 years' time. That blue top on you've got is nice.
And this is on your honeymoon. Cool, I love this.
Ian...
And Laura.
Yes.
Such a pleasure to have you over.
Oh, thank you for having
us.
You
are lovely. Thank
the
you
best dinner party guest. I'm sure you're invited to dinner parties all the time because you're good crack.
Well, until we start singing.
I'm no, sorry it's about the very large berries.
It's okay.
They're too, I mean, they should be smaller.
It's okay.
That's good because it means that now we can go for
We'll
them.
Get the food stylist to cut them up next time.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good luck with the podcast.
Thank you.
Maybe you'll get me into true crime because I'm not... into it. Yeah. So
it's
maybe
a
you
light-hearted romp through true crime.
Well, no, hold on. Because it is, we have to be careful with it. Because it's true crime, there are real people's lives and we're very serious about it. But I just find you can watch any drama on telly, anything that you make up, nothing is as mad as real life. And the stories that we do, we're like, how did that happen? How did they get away with it? Or how were they that stupid? And that's what fascinates me because people are fascinating.
Have you done one already?
We've done a few,
Okay.
Yeah. We always try and solve them. Like, we always have one where there's some sort of, like, you need to get that thing at the end where, like, that person gets caught.
We didn't solve them.
Well, I like to think I helped.
No, the
Detective
Lauren.
But, you know, sometimes you're reading back old stories, and you're like, how did the police, especially serial killers, how did they get away with it for so long?
Okay, I'm driving home now, and I'm
okay,
just like, fine, we're
in. Go for it.
Thank you so much, and hopefully see you again this year.
Yes, definitely.
All right, let's
Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
into the Quality Streets that they bought. Thank you so much to Laura and Ian for coming round and being such a hoot. What a team.
Well, they were so sweet. Such a lovely couple.
Yeah, they were so sweet. So lovely.
Really gorgeous.
I want to be at the pub with them.
Well, you will. Good crack as well.
Murder, They Wrote is out now. It's on BBC Sounds. And you can catch Ian on tour this year. You'll be able to see Laura flexing her skills as a gynecologist. And I'm sure they'll be doing plenty more. Thank you so much to Ian and Laura for coming over and being such fun and so wonderful and warm and fabulous. And long may their podcast continue. We'll see you next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.